Well, it's great to be with you guys this morning, and hope you're all keeping well from the comfort of your own homes. And today we're going to be continuing on in our series, all these great parables of Jesus we're looking at. And today's parable is the parable of the great banquet. It's found in Luke 14, verses 12 through to 24. So please follow along with me. Luke 14, through 12 to 24. So this is God's word. He, Jesus, said also to the man who had invited him, "When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." When one of those who reclined at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat the bread in the kingdom of God." But when he said to him, "A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time of the banquet, he sent a servant to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to examine them. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.' So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, 'Go quickly to the streets, the lanes of the city, and bring the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame.' And the servant said, 'Sir, what you have commanded has been done, and still there is room.' And the master said to the servant, 'Go out to the highways and the hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet.'" Let us just pause and let us just pray. Father, we thank you that your word is true truth, that it speaks truly about each and every one of us. So cause me to be the best signpost I can to you now. Give us ears to hear what you have to say to us. Compel us to come in. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm sure many of you guys this morning have heard of that great lion called Aslan. Well, there's a scene in Narnia where Aslan sets out this great feast. And the grumpy old dwarfs, they don't really believe in Aslan. They are suspicious of anything he's ever tried to do for them. And so their suspicions, they don't even taste this royal food. And listen to how C.S. Lewis describes it. He says this: "Aslan raised his head and he shook his mane. Instantly, a glorious feast appeared on the dwarfs' knees. Pies and pigeons, trifles and ices. And each dwarf had a goblet of good wine in his right hand. But it wasn't much use. They began eating and drinking very greedily enough. But it was clear that they just couldn't taste it properly. They thought they were eating and drinking the sort of things that you would find in a stable. One said he was trying to eat hay. Another said he had got a bit of old turnip. And the third said he had found a raw cabbage leaf. And they then raised their golden goblets of red, rich wine to their lips and said, 'Ugh, fancy drinking dirty water out of a trough that a donkey has been at. I never thought we had come to this.' And when the dwarfs had finished their meal, they congratulated themselves for refusing the king's royal banquet." And really with that thought in mind, we are led well into this passage today, because the word of God has promised to give his people a feast for only those who would receive it by faith. However, and like those foolish dwarfs, many people refuse to enjoy God's invitation to dinner, to this great banquet. And commentators say that the words that we have just read in Luke 14, that these words before us contain one of the Lord's most instructive parables. Another commentator says that this story Jesus is telling is the truth that people are saved by responding to God's invitation and not their own efforts or works. But before we dive into this parable, what we must see is that Jesus is in the midst of a Sabbath dinner party. And he's at a Pharisee's house, believe it or not, and it's kind of growing quite intense. This is Luke 14, so we are 1 to 12. This is the wee bit of context before our passage. When Jesus went anywhere, like we know, or did anything, we see that he was watched by many people. And at this dinner party, the religious leaders were watching Jesus very carefully. And we see that Jesus healed a man with dropsy. And of course, this caused a bit of a gurn from the religious leaders towards Jesus. They were not happy because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And in verses 7 to 14, we see Jesus went on to criticize both the hosts and the guests in a parable about a wedding feast because they had took the seats of honor. You see, Jesus made it clear to the host that he only invited those who could, in a sense, repay the favor. And really what we see is Jesus hit the nail on the head for each and every person in that room. He pretty much, you could say, insulted and offended them all and their religious ways. Really, Jesus is saying to them that the kind of things that get you places in this life, they will not get you good seats at the banquet which Jesus is the host of. You can imagine the silence, the awkwardness, the bitterness towards Jesus at this party. And the host probably thinking to himself, my goodness, this is a disaster, isn't it? And so with all that in mind, and they got their kind of dinner party scene set in place, we are landed well this parable about a great banquet. And so in verse 15, there's this introduction to the parable. One of the guests, he says, he tries to, you could say, save the day, so to speak, from all that's been said and all that's been happening. And he reclines at the table, verse 15, with Jesus. Hearing these things, he said to him, blessed is everyone who will eat the bread in the kingdom of God. You see, this man assumed that he would be there for this great feast, along with all these other respectable religious people who thought they deserved a place at God's table. The man also assumed that Jesus would agree with what he had said, confirming God's blessing. You see, this question asked in verse 15 is a question for anyone listening today to consider. So ask yourself, have I really accepted the invitation by faith to sit down at God's table, to come to Jesus? Will I, put your name in there, eat bread in the kingdom of God? And so with those questions in mind, Jesus responds to this man saying, really he says, hold on a second, let me tell you who will eat bread at this great banquet. Let me tell you who is going to actually be there. So firstly, we are taught in this parable is that God has made a great and gracious invitation for salvation. Look at me at verses 16 and 17 again. A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. So picture the scene. There's a man who has invited many guests to his great meal. And this great banquet is pictured as the ultimate kingdom banquet, the supper of the Lamb, commentators say. This great banquet is a lavish image of the kingdom of heaven hosted by Christ himself. And the Bible shows us in Revelations 19:9 that blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And what we see is this. That shortly before the beginning of the feast, the host sent a servant to tell these invited people, come, for everything's now ready. Really, there's this double invitation. Invitation one is this reminder that the dinner is on. Then invitation two, a call for your dinner. It's ready. But let's just pause here. Maybe you're thinking, who's this servant and who's this master in this parable? You see in this parable, the man hosting the banquet, the master, it represents God. And many who God invited were the people of Israel. And in this parable, we see that it's time for them to receive their second invitation. You see, Jesus was announcing at this dinner party that he is this servant sent to tell Israel that God's banquet was ready, that he is the Messiah. the Son of God, the Savior of the world, that soon he will finish his work of salvation by dying on a cross for sinners like Israel, for sinners like you and me, and by rising again from the dead. The time of the banquet had finally arrived. Who would turn this down? How could you say no? But wait till you hear what happens next. My reaction to this free meal is happy days. I'll be there in a sec. You know what I'm like when it comes to food. But that is not the case for many in a spiritual sense. In verses 18 to 20, we see secondly, we see excuse central and a rude rejection by the first invited guests, Israel's religious leaders. You can nearly feel the tension. These folks have already said, yes, I'll be there. But then when push comes to shove, we see a bit of a tragic problem, you could say. And it's one of those moments where someone camouflages no. No, you're the last person I want to have dinner with a yes, I can't wait to go, then drops out last minute. I'm sure many of you have maybe experienced that in life. They said yes when they meant no. These people had already put back their RSVPs, yet they drop out on the day. And what follows is a number of not well thought out excuses. Verse 18, one had bought a piece of land and begged to be excused. He knew very well that he had not bought the land on eBay or on PropertyPal. This just wasn't the case. Plus, I don't think the land was going to run away overnight. And in verse 19, your man had bought 5 yoke of oxen. He knew he was, in a sense, stretching the truth when he said he would not be able to attend the banquet. He said he's on his way to try them out. It's like us buying 5 used cars unseen without knowing the make or model and without knowing if they'd even work. That's just something you wouldn't do, is it? You see, the first two excuses are caused by these material possessions. And finally, we see the third fellow, he finds himself in a bit of a predicament. And in verse 20, he says, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. Maybe the wife, you could say, put the foot down on him, you're not going out tonight. Or maybe that wasn't the case at all. Maybe he just didn't want to go. His affections make up an excuse. And really here we have 3 dodges, 3 fake promises to get away from this great banquet that they had said they were going to go to. This meal hosted by the King of Kings, Lord Jesus Christ. You see, these Pharisees, these religious leaders of Israel, thought they had a place, but in fact, they excluded themselves from the kingdom. They would rather enjoy the empty promises of the world. They did not want the true promise of the one who is this bread of life. But don't miss the point Jesus is making here. He's showing us that before he came to earth, there had been so many who refused to accept the heart of him and the hand of God's salvation, full and free. And we see this in the Old Testament, that when the prophets had spoken, what happened? What do you think? Well, the people said no, didn't they? And now during Christ's ministry, they were saying what? The same again, no, no, no once more. See, God's servant Jesus called them to the great banquet, but they refused to come to Jesus by faith, just like Israel of old. So I wonder, do you see yourself in these 3 excuses today? Do you treat Jesus the same way? Do you excuse yourself like these religious leaders who find the doors lying closed? Do you make excuse after excuse? Do you refuse the truth of the cross and the empty tomb? Have you come to the banquet by putting your trust and your God-given faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Ask yourself, think about this. What other relationship is more important than the one you have with the Holy God, who gave his life so that you might have a place in heaven? Think about that. Now, friends, this is the hope that Jesus offers. Jesus offers the kingdom of eternal life. He offers a feast of help and guidance, of friendship and rest, of victory over sin and self. He offers joy. He offers heaven and his great salvation. Isn't that good news this morning? Don't get me wrong, this parable does not demand all your possessions and wealth nor affections towards a loved one, but it demands that you eat with Jesus, that you turn to him and be seated with him at his table and not your own. Imagine you have front row seats to your favourite football team's match. You have behind the scenes access. I would love that to Leeds. I'm a Leeds fan. I love that right now. Or you have this invitation to sit at a meal with the Queen, and she has invited you personally. She has actually wrote out your name. Or you have these first class tickets for a 2-week stay on one of those houses out in stilts. Maybe say somewhere like Bali or something like that. That'd be pretty amazing. Everything is covered. Do you think you would make excuses not to be at one of these things? I'm pretty sure you wouldn't. One commentator says the reason people turn away from the eternal feast is that they do not want to be there. They have no appetite for higher things. That God has not opened them up to the reality that they are in need of a great Saviour. So you ask yourself, do you have an appetite for the things of God or the things of the world? Ask yourself, why is it when Christ offers forgiveness, peace, eternal life, and this eternal feast, you don't respond? You see, these religious leaders of Christ's day, those mentioned in verses 18 and 20, acted as if they wanted the kingdom of God, but in fact, they did not. What a tragedy. Let me ask, are you like one of those who says, blessed is everyone who will eat at the kingdom of God, who bow outwardly to God's word, but their heart is unwilling to come to the feast? You see, we are to live upon Christ. We are to get all from him and his never diminishing banquet. So let me encourage you, don't make excuses. Come to Jesus. Hear the call to the banquet. Respond out of delight and not duty. You see, not only have we seen that God has made a great and gracious invitation, firstly, and secondly, we see excuse central. Thirdly, verse 21 goes on to show this master's response, that God invites the outcast in through Jesus' call. Verses 21. So the servant came and reported these things to the master. And what does the master do? The master of the house, he became angry. And of course he's not going to be the happiest of fellows, is he? Maybe we would just hit this banquet in the head. Call it off. What a waste of time and money. I think that's how I would react. But that wasn't the case for the master. The master shows mercy and this wider invitation. Why? Because he still has a feast to give away. He said to the servant, go quickly to the streets and the lanes of the city. Bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind and the lame. The banquet is still on. And it's for the outcast. It's for the poor, the crippled, the blind and the lame. Those spiritually disabled by sin. Those we've seen in verse 13. And so the servant, Jesus, goes out to the streets and the lanes to find such people. Israel's lost sinners. All those whom Israel's religious leaders and Pharisees were too proud to have over for dinner. All those who could not repay the invitation, like we've seen earlier in verses 12 to 14. Maybe these folks are thinking to themselves, is this really for someone like me? No way is this table for me, when I can't even see because I'm blind. I can't even reach over and pick up the sandwich. And maybe another's thinking, not a hope I'll be there. Not a hope I'll even be welcomed there. Can you not see I'm poor? I just wouldn't fit into this party. Have you seen my clothes and the dirt of my feet? Not a chance I'll even make it. Have you seen it? I can't even walk. My legs are just two bits of lead. I'm a sinful mess. Maybe they were all thinking this. Could it really be for them? But wait a year. It was. It was for those types of people. And Charles Spurgeon, a famous great Baptist preacher, imagined this in one of the most unlikely guests at the banquet. He says this, I can hardly believe that I'm really in a palace dining with the king. Long live the king, and blessings on the prince and his bride. That's what he imagined one of the guests saying. This is what God does. This is the but God moment. But God, in his mercy and grace, invites spiritually broken, disabled sinners to come to himself through his Son. Those who never thought they would even be invited in the first place are welcome to the event. People like you and me are invited to the banquet of God, with our names, would you hear this, inscribed on our empty seats. Isn't that amazing? After all, Jesus is the one who says, I have come to seek and to save the lost. I wonder, can you say like the hymn writer, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. That's my story today. I wonder, is it yours? You see, it's only through the invite that calls you to come through Jesus. Only coming through Jesus as a person can be saved. You can just imagine how glad these folks are to come to Jesus and sit at this table, these down and outs in the parable. My friends, this is the love of Jesus. This is the sovereignty of God. This is the love of the Father for all his children in Christ. Broken by sin, by pain, and disabled by all the troubles of this fallen world, we are called to come to the banquet, to come to this banquet of God, where Jesus welcomes us by his grace and satisfies us with his love. Isn't that an amazing thought? I wonder, have you come to Jesus yet? Wait to hear this, the parable goes on. And the search through the city, it did not, you could say, generate enough guests, because fourthly we see Jesus is still calling and compelling sinners into his arms. And so the servant then asks in verse 22, Sir, what you have commanded has been done, and still there is room. You see, the owner, our God, is the kind of person who is very big-hearted and generous. He loves to bring his children home into a feast of his mercy and his grace. So he now sends his servant out on another trip to go out to the highways and the hedges and compel people to come in. That's verse 23. You see, the master desires that these people outside the city, on the highways and the byways and the hedges, would come to this great banquet, compelled, if not physically, but by the force of powerful, loving persuasion. And really the picture Jesus is painting for us here is that this great banquet is not just for the Jewish leaders, not just for the Jewish people in general inside the city, but it's for the Gentiles, those outside the city, those of all nations of the world. And the Bible shows us this. In Romans 1:16, the gospel shows us this. The gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, but also to the Greek. You see, the great banquet of God's salvation has been set for all peoples. People like you and me this morning, in our homes, wherever we may be. Isn't that amazing? God is welcoming everyone. People who had never had any connection with him before. You see, this is what the gospel does. It calls all different types of people to come to the feast, to come to Jesus. The gospel calls people to their seat at the great banquet until all seats are filled with both Jew and Gentiles. And what a day of rejoicing that will be, won't it? Praise him. See, Jesus not only calls us to come, but this works both ways. Maybe you're thinking, what are you on about, Jamie, now? You've said enough. What do you mean this works both ways? I thought I just had to come to Jesus and then just get on with life. Never mention or say about him again. What are you saying? There's more to this call. What do you mean? You see, for the Christian, we are called to first to come and believe in faith and repentance. But wait to hear this, the flip side. We are also called to go out to the highways and the bushes and to all the world and compel people to come in, to tell about Jesus. This is our great commission, in a sense, to be evangelists. To be speakers of this great truth which was spoken to us and still is needed spoken to us. to tell of the great need we once had and no longer own because another has paid our debt in full. So let me ask, have you come to the banquet with Jesus? If so, are you going out to compel others to come in? Let me encourage you, Christians, share the gospel in whatever highways and byways you go on. Tell people of their spiritual situation, of their predicament that they find themselves in. Compel them that there is a way of rescue, a way of forgiveness through another. The truth of the gospel is a way for them to be seated at this table. Tell that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one can come to the Father except through him, except through his invite. Tell that Jesus gave his life for as a ransom for many, that Christ has loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Tell that he was pierced for our transgression, that he was crushed for our iniquities, and then the punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Tell that we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sin. That's what the Bible says. The Bible goes on and on and on. Our friend, the Apostle Paul, he says that we are to be ambassadors for Christ, and God is making his appeal through us. So we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. One old Scottish preacher called Thomas Boston said that this is a comfortable word for those who have not yet complied or accepted the invitation of the gospel. The doors are not yet shut, and such sinners may yet have access to come to Christ. You see, we cannot give a comforting word without giving, finally and fifthly, the final word of caution and warning that Jesus gives at the end of this parable. And so in closing, you have to ask the question, what about these people that you talked about at the start, that Jesus mentioned at the start of this parable, who had all these excuses under the sun? They were invited first. What happened to them, Jamie? Well, Jesus says in verse 24, "For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet." And really, Jesus is saying there's no second chance for those who have made their excuses. They have squandered their opportunity, and they would get no other. They failed to come to Jesus and repent of their sin. They didn't see a need for him. And really, Jesus is showing us here the main course. He's showing us himself. You either have all of him or none of him at all. You see, the banquet is Jesus's. He's the host and the master of all the invitations to this supper. And those who did not come at first by faith, the Pharisees, those religious leaders, the Bible is clear. Jesus is clear. They are not his, because they did not hear his voice nor see their need of rescue, of salvation. Basically, Jesus is saying, you guys love all your possessions and all your relationships, wealth and authority and status, more than you love me. You prefer religion and not personal relationship with the living God. You desire to, in a sense, work your way up to God when God has already made a way for you to repent and depend on the works of another, Jesus Christ. I wonder, is this you? Are you one who refuses to accept this gracious invitation of salvation by grace through faith? I wonder, will you spend a lost eternally in that place called hell? My friends, let me compel you not to look at me nor my fumbling, bumbling words. Look and see that this is who God is, that he is gracious and he will receive all who come to him by saving faith. My friends, pay great attention to this warning of Jesus, because the Savior is here. His banquet is ready. And we hear this. There's still room at his table. Don't refuse. Don't make excuses. Don't miss the salvation and the rescue that Jesus offers. I pray, would you hear his call this morning? I pray, would you see the urgency and need of repentance? Don't just be hearers of the word like these people in the parable, but be doers of the word. Be changed by Jesus. See that it cost Jesus everything to prepare this great banquet. The pain, the tears, the flesh, and his blood poured out on that old rugged cross. So they ask again, have you got your invite? And if so, have you got your clothes? Have you been clothed in the righteousness of Jesus for this banquet? Or do you try to close yourself saying, I'll do it my way. I'll do it in my terms. I will dress myself in my own garments, my own goodness. My friends, come to the banquet. Put on Jesus' clothes in exchange for your dirty and old sinful rebellious rags. The Bible says in Isaiah 61:10, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. Praise him. So may I encourage you, come to the feast, you poor. Come, you wretched and blind. Come, you starving and helpless and empty. Come to Jesus, for he is able and willing to fill and make sinners just like you and me clean. Come and see this inexhaustible grace and mercy. Because if you're thirsty, everyone is. Come to Jesus. If you're laboring and heavy laden, everyone has been. Come to Jesus and he will give you rest. Come and respond in saving faith. Come, for he provides the clothes. And he calls us to sit at his great banquet. Come to the banquet of God, because it will satisfy. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. This is the joy of Jesus. And this is the assurance of Jesus. That whoever comes to me, I will in no ways cast out. Isn't that good news this morning? So Christian, if you have responded to the invitation to come, if you have got your clothes for this great banquet, then let me encourage you. Go and compel others who are poor, needy, blind and crippled by sin to come to Jesus also. Share the gospel both near and far. Tell of this great invitation that has changed your life, that changed the very beat of your heart of hearts. And remember these great words of the parable. He, Jesus, will compel people to come in. What does this mean for you today? Let's just pause and pray. Father, we are poor, we are weak, we are naked and need of clothes. But we thank you that you have made a way for us to be clothed in a righteousness not found in something we see inside of ourselves but in Jesus. We thank you for this righteousness and this invite he has given to us. That when we were blind and helpless, you invited us to come in. That you have called us to yourself. So we thank you, Father, for that call. And I pray that you would even call today and call the sinner to repentance and show them their need of you. So have mercy on us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.